This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب رياض الصالحين في باب استحباب صوم الاثنين والخميس يحيى بن شرف النووي says in his book entitled The Guardians of the Righteous in the chapter The Virtues of Fasting on Mondays and Thursdays عن أبي قتادة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل عن صوم يوم الاثنين فقال ذلك يوم ولدت فيه ويوم بعثت أو أنزل علي فيه. Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about fasting on Mondays and Thursdays. He said, that is the day on which I was born and the day on which I received revelation. And this is recorded by Muslim and Bayhaqi in his Sunan. And there is عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تعرض الأعمال يوم الاثنين والخميس فأحب أن يعرض عملي وأنا صائم. Abu Huraira narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said the deeds of people are presented to Allah on Mondays and Thursdays, so I like that my actions are presented while I am fasting. And Aisha radiallahu anha قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتحرى صوم الاثنين والخميس. Aisha radiallahu anha narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to observe fast on Mondays and Thursdays. And the second hadith was narrated by Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, and the last hadith was on Tirmidhi and An-Nasa'i. So, firstly, if we hear a hadith is in Muslim, Bukhari or Muslim, what do we know? It is authentic. No. If we hear it is on the other four books, what do we know? Firstly, what are the other four books of hadith? Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasa'i. Right? And the first two are Bukhari and Muslim. No. Bukhari and Muslim are the two books. Every single hadith in Bukhari and Muslim is authentic. How do we know this? Is there an ayah in the Quran? Or you believe? The chain of narration. Yeah. What do we mean the chain of narration though? Yes. No, so this is one aspect of it. So we're getting slightly into the science of what is called Mustalah al-Hadith. And this is a whole science. This is a whole subject matter that we had in the College of Sharia. It was a whole subject for a whole the duration of our schools for 4 years. But there is a college in Medina. It's the College of Hadith. This is where Yasser Qadhi, he graduated from this college. He graduated from the College of Hadith. I don't think there's anyone else here in Dallas that graduated from the College of Hadith. But this is one college that he graduated from. I graduated from College of Sharia. But in Sharia, they particularly focus more on what is called Usul al-Fiqh. Because you're learning Islamic law. So you have to learn the code of scholars that got from this verse, what was the process that they used to get from this verse to this ruling. What were the different schools of thought in regards to? So for instance, if Allah says, if He uses the imperative verb, what does that imply? Right? Is it allowed for you to delay telling someone the ruling when it is needed. All these are issues in Usul al-Fiqh, right? But Mustalah Hadith are these particular issues. And this is the basic issue here. What makes a Hadith sahih? What makes it a Hadith authentic? What makes a Hadith non-authentic? That's just the chain. But then there's a whole other chapter within this subject matter of the narrators. No, so there's the chain, and then there's also the narrators. So you have those two different sciences. When you talk about Bukhari and Muslim, their chains were connected, and each narrator was reliable. But even within the narrators, there's grades. How do we know these grades? From scholars that have known them during their time. And it's all recorded, right? So you have Imam, there's books that talk about each narrator that's in Hadith. There's many different books. There's Kama, there's Tahdhib al-Kama, there's Tadrib al-Rawi by An-Nawawi. An-Nawawi was Muhaddith as well. You have Sheikh Salam Tamimi. He was, some scholars say he was Muhaddith. So you have many scholars that were known to be Muhaddithun. Like they literally, like books like this, memorized. There's a beautiful story on a Tirmidhi. We said Tirmidhi. A Tirmidhi, he was from Tirmidh, right? So there was a time where he would travel to go and get hadith. These scholars would travel to individuals while walking on donkey to go get hadith. And his book of hadith was stolen. Apparently it was taken from him. And subhanAllah, it was a story to where the fact that he didn't have his book of hadith with him, it made him, the level of sad, that he was so sad that his book of hadith was not with him, that the narration that he was crying. Right, because of all, not the fact that I did all this work, but it was the fact that he gathered this hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, and it brought him sadness. But when you look at the lives of these companions, or these muhaddithun, they dedicated their lives to this. Like it's like if I was to say, right, I'm going this weekend, I'm going to go to Houston because I'm going to get 5 hadith from a brother. You know, that was a pastime of the ulama, of the muhaddithun particularly. Right, so Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Muslim ibn Hajjaj, and Muslim Nasa'i, these scholars were, this was their life. Right, so when we read about them now, we say Bukhari by Muslim, but we don't realize the history of each and every one of these individuals. Imam Muslim is narrated that he died because he was eating a lot of dates recording hadith. This is how he passed away. Right? His room was full of books of hadith. Right? So these scholars were something that they were not to be taken lightly. Imam Bukhari, his memorization is like immaculate. Imam Muslim as well. No? And there's a well-known story, if you type on Google the test of Imam Bukhari, that's a whole other situation, the way he was tested on his memory. Basically, they mentioned the hadith and they mentioned the isnad, but they mixed them up, 10 hadith. They mentioned basically hadith number 1 with isnad number 7. And then they tested him. He said, no, what you mentioned was incorrect. And he did mention, no, this hadith is with this sunnah. And when they say sunnah, it's not like, you know, how I'm saying here, on Abu Huraira, the Prophet ﷺ said. No. It's on Abu Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani, an kadha, an qal. He said, haddathana, this scholar. He said, haddathana. He said, haddathana. Even haddathana, there's different seal. There's like 7. You can say haddathana, akhbarana, an qira'atan alay. All of these, if you say qira'atan alay, it can lower the level, the daraja. Right? So the daraja could be to where the student reads to the sheikh. So the sheikh comes to the student. He says, these are my hadith. Read my hadith to me. Right? Or the sheikh says, okay, my hadith are memorized. I need you to read the hadith to me. Hivvan. Memorized. So some scholars say, well, if he read his hadith to him, that lowers the level of the grade. So all of this is accounted for. And they were very daqiq. They were very particular in regards to how they graded, you know, what made a scholar thabit, what made a scholar reliable, what grade, because they have fiqh. Fiqh is totally reliable. They have fiqhatun thabit. Like he's reliable and he's strong. Then you just have fiqh, right? He's reliable. But then you have saduq, truthful. Then you have kadhab, liar. Right, so you have these levels of people. Right, so when you have, for instance, Imam Ahmed in these books, Imam Malik, these are muhaddithun. Imam Malik is thiqatun, thabtun, imamun, alim. This is how they grade. This is Imam Malik. Imam Ahmed, thiqatun, thabt. So all of these is, and this is what majority of scholars said about this one man. So it's not something that is just Imam Malik was just someone that was just we knew. No, this is someone that has a reputation of knowledge, a reputation of haiba, especially Imam Malik. He was known to have a haiba. A haiba means a presence. That when people would come, he's from Medina, so many scholars were able to see him. When they come to the jalsa of Imam Malik was very tall. In America, he had blue eyes, right? Light skin, very tall. You know, and mashallah, always dressed in white, very nice. Mashallah, tabarakallah. Same thing with Imam Ahmed as well, right? So it was very known that the Imam Malik was a person of hadith, well known with hadith. And in Ramadan, put away the books of hadith and deal with the Quran. So you have Imam Muslim, Ibn Hajjaj, Ibn Muslim, and Imam Bukhari. If you have an opportunity to look up their lives and how stringent they were on grading hadith and the rawis, you will understand why their books are the most authentic books after the Quran. But then you have the other scholars, Imam al-Nasa'i, Imam Majah. They have their history as well. Like Imam al-Nasa'i was one of the most strict on grading the rawat, like the narrators. And some scholars say Imam Bukhari was a little lenient. Right? He was a little lenient. Therefore, you know, there was kalam on grading whether his hadith were authentic or not. But because of consensus of the scholars, there was no question. Right? But Imam al-Nasa'i was known to be shadid, marra yani. Very shadid, yani, subhanAllah. When you look at the history of these people, it's beautiful because they have different personalities. But subhanAllah, they all wanted the haqq and they were all about the truth in Islam. So, we're looking at this first hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Abi Qatada, that he was asked about fasting Yawm al-Ithnain. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that is the day on which I was born and the day on which I received revelation. The day on which I was born and the day on which I received revelation. So it shows virtue that there was a day that he was born and he received revelation. But any type of i'tiqad to say, okay, you know, because of that, I fast Yawm al-Ithnain. The scholars just say, that's just khabr. It's just him informing that this day, this took place. Is there any particular virtue, like this is the, you know, the overarching reason on why I fast? Not really, the scholars mention. This is why Imam An-Nawawi mentions the next hadith. When he says, the deeds of the people are presented to Allah on Mondays and Thursdays. So I like that my actions are presented to Allah while I am fasting. So their deeds are presented on Mondays and Thursdays. So if some Orientalist comes and says, oh, see, your Lord doesn't take deeds on Ish. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. What, is he asleep? Like the Christians, he rests. You say, no. You see, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, as the Prophet ﷺ has willed. It's not like he's unaware on the rest of the days of the week. Well, this is something that the Prophet ﷺ has been informed, and he mentions that the deeds are lifted up. How are they lifted up? Allahu A'lam. All I know is that they are lifted up, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, inshallah, while they're lifted up, I love that they're lifted up while I'm fasting, which shows that the virtue of fasting when these deeds are being lifted up or presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that is virtuous. And that is seems like the motivation behind him doing it. The first hadith was just khabar, but the second hadith serves as a motivation, right? And then Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ kana yataharra, that he would usually fast Mondays and Thursdays. And one wisdom behind Imam An-Nawawi using the first hadith, firstly, is because it was the most authentic, because it was recorded by a Muslim. The others were Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Tirmidhi and An-Nasa'i. Okay? So this is the virtues of fasting Mondays and Thursdays that Imam An-Nawawi has gathered, particularly these two. The first of them being that the Prophet ﷺ was asked about fasting those days. He said, that's the day that I was born and the day that I received revelation. And then also that the deeds are lifted up on Mondays and Thursdays. And he loves that to happen while he is fasting. So just remember that when we fast on Mondays and Thursdays, inshallah ta'ala. And we talked about the joining the fasting of what? Shawwal and? Mondays and Thursdays. Jaiz? Yajuz? Halal? Haram? No, halal, inshallah ta'ala. So if you join, inshallah, you receive the reward for Mondays and Thursdays, inshallah, and also the reward of Shawwal, bi'idhnillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this month of Shawwal a blessed one and a beneficial one, ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir 'anna sayyi'atina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Allahumma waffiqna fi siyamina wa qiyamina ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma sir ikhwanana fi Filistin ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma sir ikhwanana fi Suriya ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma sir ikhwanana fi Sudan ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma sir ikhwanana fi Rohingya ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma sir ikhwanana fi Yemen ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma sir thabbit aqdam al-muslimin fi masharik al-ard wa magharibaha ya rabbal alamin wa amidhum bi madadin min indika ya al-azizu ya qawiyyu ya al-matin. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.